We had enough wins at the yard, we had enough wins at the yard for Sanford for this last week.
Looks good out there too. Good evening. I called the January 18th, 2023 Planning Commission meeting to order at 6:30 PM. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance and remove your caps.
Where are you going?
You moved it.
It's been there forever.
That's not fair. Okay, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
It's normally over here where it's supposed to be.
Yes, sir. We'll fix that after the meeting. This is a public meeting. Terry, are there any changes to the agenda?
No, there are no changes.
Okay. Are there any public comments for items not already on the agenda? Seeing none, do we have anyone online? Do you know?
That's Director Kathy.
Okay. Can I get the approval of minutes for December 21st?
I make a motion to approve the December 21st, 2022 meeting minutes.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I didn't vote. I couldn't get in the meeting, so I don't know if they're approved.
Okay.
Technical difficulties.
I didn't vote either. I wasn't here. Any opposed? Seeing none. Okay, thank you. All right. We have a public hearing and zoning code amendment for file number AMD-22-37. I now open the public meeting on AMD-22-37 PNDI on January 18th, 2023 at 6:32 p.m. My name is Jeff Hague. I'm the Planning Commission chairperson for this hearing. The hearing will be conducted in accordance with the Junction City Municipal Code and State Law ORS 197.797 specifically. The hearing will be conducted in accordance with the Junction City Municipal Code and State Law ORS 197. You know, I'm reading this twice because it's on there twice. You did that to me. The staff will first present the staff report, applicable criteria, and recommendation. The applicant will then have an opportunity to present the proposal and address any issues raised by the staff report. For public testimony, I will first ask to hear from people who would like to speak in favor of the proposal. I will then ask to hear from people who have neutral comments or questions about the proposal, neither for nor against. And finally, I will ask for those in opposition to the proposal. In any rate, the applicant will have the opportunity for the last word to clear any problems. After each presentation, I will ask for questions from the Planning Commission. We are recording this hearing. Please clearly state your name and address when you are called to speak. This will help in preparing accurate written minutes of the hearing and also assist with mailing copies of the decision to all interested parties. If you have written testimony or other evidence to submit, please give that to staff so it can be entered into the record. Okay, thank you. Terry, staff report, please.
Chair, did you want to review the comments?
Oh, I do, yep. Okay. That's probably me. The chair and the planning commission are required to disclose any conflict of interest and ex parte contacts that we have or had with proposal or applicant. That is, whether we have any financial or other personal interest in the proposal and whether we have spoken with anybody about the proposal outside of this hearing. Also, planning commissioners may only participate if they can do so without undue bias, either for or against the application. Does anyone wish to make any disclosures?
No.
Seeing none, thank you. Are there any challenges from the audience to any commissioner participation? Seeing none, thank you. State law requires me to tell you a number of things at the beginning of this hearing. First, the applicable substantive criteria that apply to this application are contained in the written staff report and will be identified and discussed in the oral staff report. Your testimony and arguments and evidence must be directed toward these criteria or other criteria in the comprehensive plan or development code that you believe apply to this application. ORS 197-797, subsection 5B. Third, failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the decision maker or other people an opportunity to respond may preclude appeal of a decision on this application based on that issue. That's ORS 197-797, subsection 5C. Finally, to the applicant, failure to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the city to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. And that's ORS 197-796, subsection 3B. Okay, Terry, thank you.
Thank you. So I'm going to hand it over to our to Attorney Gary Darnell, who has written the staff report. It's from LCOG, our contractor planning services are provided through the Council of Governments.
Thank you, Terry. I'll try to be brief. The applicant has an approved planned unit development called Rolling Meadows Planned Unit Development, which is located on tax lots 2400 and 2500, Assessor's Map 150431. Terry, we're going to put it in, give you an idea of the TUV. Phase one has only been approved so far in this PUD, although the master plan that was approved addresses the entire PUD, which contains 1 acre of high-density residential, 9 acres of duplex residential, that's R2, 38 acres of single-family residential, R1. The remainder is streets, wetland, and open space. But tonight, the applicant is asking for an amendment to the Title 17 of the Municipal Code, basically the zoning ordinance, to allow two attached dwelling units in the R2 zone. Right now, the R2 zone allows a duplex, which are single owner, two units. This would be two units, but of different ownership, which isn't currently addressed in the municipal code. So the applicant wishes to request that change to the R2 zone and to initially allow the single attached residential units to have a density of one unit per 2,500 square feet. Right now, a duplex is required for 7,500 square feet or 3,500 square feet for each of the two units. Subsequently, and immediately after the staff report was issued, the applicant requested that be changed to 3,500 square feet per unit, which would put single attached dwelling units in the R2 of the same density as duplexes are now. And the reason for doing that, I'll explain in just a minute. In order to make that change, a number of changes had to be made to the zoning code, because duplexes and single-family residential units appear in different places throughout the code in terms of minimum lot size, in terms of just allowable uses. So I'll go very quickly through the different sections of the zoning code that need to be changed to basically approve what is requested by the applicant. The first change is to section 17.05.020, and that's in the definitional section of the code. Right now, there's no definition for a single-family attached dwelling, just a definition for duplex and single-family detached units.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Where are you reading this from? I need to follow along, if you don't mind.
Well, I'm summarizing the staff report. And if you start on page 2, the proposed changes to Title 17.
14.
Okay.
So, the first change is into 1705.020. And that just adds a definition of dwelling, single family attached to the zoning ordinance. The second change occurs in section 1715.010A. And this section lists the outright permitted uses in the R2 zone. Currently, dwelling, single family attached is not a use that is listed. So this would add that definition to this section of the code. The next section to be changed would be 1715.030, and that deals with lot size. And this is where the initial request by the applicant was found to be inconsistent with the code, because the right now, the minimum lot size is determined by the, well, is determined by restrictions in the lot depth and width. The minimum lot depth is 75 feet. The minimum lot width is 50 feet unless the unit is on a cul-de-sac. If you multiply 75 feet by 50 feet, which is the minimum allowed in the R2 zone, you come up with more than, well, you come up with 3,700 feet plus. So a 2,500 square foot minimum isn't consistent with what the code currently says for minimum lot width and depth. Now, I think you'll hear from another party later that they will ask you to change one of the minimum lot or minimum width, or allow some variance there to come up with 2,500 square feet as the minimum unit square footage allowed. But currently before you, the application does not say that. It does not amend the minimum lot width or depth, and therefore they moved the minimum lot size up to 3,500 square feet. Section 1705.10D, this section allows duplexes as outright permitted uses in the R3 zone. It seemed appropriate to also allow single family attached residences as outright permitted uses, as essentially duplexes and single-family attached units are the same land use except for ownership. You know, same two units, same density. It didn't seem any, there was no reason not to make that change to the R3 district to make it compatible with how they treat duplexes. The next section in the code that's changed is 1765060C1A. And this section just talks about the types of housing allowed within a planned unit development. It currently lists detached single-family dwellings and duplexes. This would amend that language to add attached single-family dwelling units to the list of allowable uses. Again, treating the use as a similar matter to duplexes, which would be the PUD. And finally, section 1790.10E1A, the section lists the minimum off-street parking spaces that must be provided by use. The current listing only lists single-family and two-family dwellings. The change would replace that with single-family attached and detached and two-family dwellings. Again, making it consistent with the rest of the code. So those are the changes that are proposed by the applicant at this time. Change to the to this standard in the code really has no specific criteria that are identified in either your comprehensive plan or your municipal code. However, because this is a land use ordinance that's being changed, we know that it has to be consistent with the comprehensive plan, whatever policies are applicable in the plan. It has to be consistent with the statewide planning goals or any administrative rules, for instance, that LCDC has adopted. And finally, it has to be internally consistent with the zoning ordinance. So when you have a proposed density of 2,500 square feet that is inconsistent with the minimum depth and width, that's an inconsistency that was pointed out by staff. Going into the comprehensive plan, there's a couple of sections that we feel that are applicable. Section 2 of the land use element talks about the medium density residential designation. It currently has language that talks about detached and attached residential units at 8 to 12 dwelling units per acre. A 2,500 square foot density. It's really a little closer to high density in terms of what the staff looks at, although the comprehensive plan is not totally explicit. It just says that's the general density that you're going to find in medium density designation by the comprehensive plan. A section C of the plan's urbanization element notices that the city encourages compatible integration with different land uses, such as single and multifamily dwellings. Staff would argue that allowing attached single-family dwellings is consistent with this planning policy. Section 3 on the economic development objectives calls for housing that is safe and affordable for Junction City residents at all income levels. Again, this proposal would encourage housing ownership as opposed to housing residential, and certainly isn't incompatible with this objective. And finally, goal 3 of the housing elements policies is to lessen the impact of rising housing costs by requiring a more efficient use of lands available and buildable for new housing. Again, allowing this change would expand the allowable ownership opportunities to individuals in Junction City. In terms of statewide planning goals, there really are none that are directly applicable. Goal 2, land use, requires an opportunity for citizens and affected governmental units to be able to review proposed changes to land use ordinances. Staff has sent out notices, referral notices, to all affected governmental agencies, including LCDC, which did not comment. And we didn't receive any negative responses. Goal 10, housing. The housing goal defines needed housing to include attached and detached single-family dwellings. So this proposal would certainly be consistent with Goal 10 in that respect. I wasn't able to find any statutes or administrative rules that were directly applicable, but as you've probably heard, there's been quite a bit of legislation in the last number of years which has forced cities, larger cities primarily, to increase residential densities for middle housing, changing the definition of needed housing to essentially incorporate all types of housing. So in terms of the legislature's desire to increase housing opportunities, this is certainly consistent with that. And then again, consistency with Title 17 of the code, the minimum lot width and size needs to be consistent with the minimum lot size that's being proposed. The applicants changed, made that pretty close to being consistent. And with that, I'll conclude my staff report and address any questions you might have.
So they've dropped the 2,500 square foot recommendation from there. So is that reflected in the motion here, or is that, would that be a motion with changes at some point?
If you agreed with that.
Because that gave me some heartburn. I could see 100 people in here complaining about no place to park and lack of space, and that was one. I don't know if anybody else had questions. That was the heartburn point for me.
Well, I don't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
On the finding one, where it said they're going to 17.4 dwelling units per acre, that sounds like an apartment or a condo. That doesn't sound like single family housing.
Well, the comprehensive plan is not real specific about where the borders are between low density and medium density. Suggested that medium density was generally, what was it, between 8 and 12 units per acre. But again, that was sort of a generalization. So my feeling was pretty much the same as yours. When we get up to 17 units per acre, it's approaching high density. It's not explicitly high density, but I think that's something for the Planning Commission and the City Council to consider as an interpretation of the comprehensive plan and its policies.
I have a question, Mr. Chair.
Sir?
If, hypothetically, if this was approved, a person that owned a lot here in town could tear down the building he has on that lot and build an adjoining two single family joined homes that lot, because it would fit the minimum that you're talking about.
Under the proposal, if they had 3,500 square feet per unit, which means if they had 7,000 square feet, right, they could put a single family attached dwelling, that is two units,
that's right,
separated by a wall. And the people on one side would own that part of the structure and the property on that side, and the people in the other unit would own that unit and the property under that unit.
What would prevent a duplex doing the same thing right now?
Nothing.
Okay. In other words, Johnny Schmuckheimer lives here and Joe Jones lives over here, and they both own part of that building.
I think it would allow the owner of a duplex that complied with the minimum lot size and lot depth and width standards to convert that from a duplex into a single family attached dwelling unit or units. This was sort of an issue that just came up in Oakland. Only in that case, the owner of the duplexes, which had been built years and years ago before the current code existed, wanted to do the same thing, essentially. But unfortunately, the lots didn't comply with the existing setback standards. So today, proposed to change the duplexes into condominiums. And that would allow him to do that.
Okay. Anyone else?
So I guess I want to be clear that even though it says 2,500 in here, 35 is the number, or do we have to deal with that separately?
No, the applicant amended their proposal the day the staff report came out.
Okay.
So the staff report doesn't represent the current request by the applicant.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Any other questions from staff?
I do. I have one more question. If you go to 3,500, in other words, 7,000 for the thing, how are they going to go to 17 point something per acre?
No, it would be the same density as duplexes. And what is that? It's close to 12, isn't it?
Yeah, it would fit within the 8 to 12.
Yeah, the 17 figure is going to be out of the picture.
Well, 17 acres if...
No, per acre.
17.4 dwellings per acre.
Only if the minimum lot size is squeezed to 2,500 square feet. The current request is for 3,500 square feet, which lowers the density.
So all we'd be doing is cleaning it up, so if someone wanted to have two single families instead of a duplex, essentially.
Well.
Yeah, basically a townhome instead of a duplex.
Okay, okay.
The only difference between a duplex and a single family attached is ownership.
Okay.
In a duplex, the owner who may or may not live on site rents out the two units. In a single family attached, the two units have different ownership.
Sold separately or?
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
And the reason the staff had problems with the 2,500 square feet was it was inconsistent with what the minimum lot size or width and depth were. So the applicant would have to change those standards as well. And I think you're going to hear a request tonight for that.
One more question. If this would be the same as a duplex, going and making it double ownership, why would you have to change the code so they could do what they're talking about here?
Because the code only talks about a single family residence and a duplex on the R2, on R2 lot.
Okay.
A single family attached unit is different than a duplex.
Only by name and oh.
Only by ownership.
Right.
Yeah.
So why go through the change of the code, just allow
because a duplex
people to own the building?
A duplex is defined as being under one ownership.
It's a change of wording that they hadn't thought of years ago when they thought of duplex. No one ever thought a duplex owner would own up to wall A.
It's really what a townhouse is. Mm-hmm. If you look at the code, townhouses are allowed as conditional uses in the R2, and they're defined as being three or more attached units.
Mm-hmm.
This is essentially a two-unit townhouse because it shares a central wall.
But has multiple owners?
With multiple owners, and that's what a townhouse is.
Yeah.
It's rather than call two units that are together a townhouse, it seemed easier to just call them single-family attached units.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving along. The applicant and others in favor of the proposal may speak if they're here.
Good evening, Commission, and thank you very much, Gary. I'm Lanny Hickey. My address is 24241 Old. No, I'm not speaking loud enough. Now, you'd be the only person that tells me that.
No, I was fixing to say the same thing.
Yeah, I'm having trouble hearing you also.
Okay, I wonder if I can come a little
maybe
closer.
You could come closer with that.
You can take my chair.
Could you move that booth up?
Oh, I can just, or stand here. Lanny Hickey, 24241 Old Malin Highway, Merrill, Oregon. And I'm with Rhine Cross Group, LLC, out of Klamath Falls, who is the agent representing the applicant, National Pacific. So the reason, as very well explained by Gary, for this request is that duplexes, as he stated, are in one ownership. And what the applicant thought would be a much better idea would to be have the attached single family residences where you could split it down the common wall, yet the people could own the property for which that land or for which that sits on. Unlike duplexes, you can't do that. And as Gary stated in the code here, the applicant would have to build three townhomes, which is allowable in R2 with a conditional use permit with the right square footage. But an applicant, just like the idea, since duplexes were already an approved use, having this additional option would give landowners or purchasers of the house an opportunity to actually own their own land and own part of this attached single-family residence. And yes, we did submit an email when the staff report came out recommending the 3,500 square feet rather than the 2,500 square feet. And then also, looking at the Junction City Code, another amendment would have to be made under 17.15.030, so that...
What page are you on there?
I'm on page 30.
30 or 3?
15.
Well, I'm on page 30 of mine.
Ours is 17.15.030 is page 15.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anyway, under 17.15.030, to make... It's interesting that the code as written today is not even allowing the duplexes for the square footage. So changing, let me put my glasses on, hang on. Changing D to 70 feet and the minimum lot width of 50 feet would get you to the 3,500 square feet. So that's what we're recommending as a change for the lot depth and also for the square footage of the lot size. Do you have any questions?
Any questions? Mr. Sumner.
What happens if the roof goes? Who pays for the roof?
Well, you know, those are things, that's a really good question, and that would probably have to be addressed in the Homeowners Association. That would maybe have to be amended. That's a really good question, but go ahead.
I've lived in other much bigger metropolitan areas, and they have what they call zero lot line homes, whereas it's exactly what you're saying, but the wall in the middle has to be a double fireproof wall and has to extend like 36 inches above roof line. And that was put in there because of fires. With this, is that included in Junction City's building code, that that's how it would have to be built?
2-hour firewall, yes.
Between them, but we wouldn't require a parapet wall, something ugly sticking up in the middle of the house, hopefully.
It would be the Oregon building codes, and I would have to check with our building inspector, Russ Young, on that. I've never heard him mention the parapet.
That usually only occurs when it's really close to a property line and can affect a neighboring home. So you want to get along with your neighbors and have them not burn your half out.
Well, yeah.
So is that your anticipation of how that would be built?
With the firewall?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like Terry said, it would be built. It would be my, what I've dealt with here recently, no matter what county I've been in, you have to have a firewall. So it would be my...
Terry?
Yes. Director Capping?
Yeah. So a common wall for a duplex apartment... Okay.
Thank you. Any questions from anyone?
I hate to keep asking.
Don't be shy.
I want to hear. I want to totally understand it. I don't see where it says the minimum lot width in the amended code. Does that mean you're leaving the minimum lot width shall be 50? Feet and 35 feet for cul-de-sacs, because it's not mentioned in the amended code.
That is correct.
I believe it's on the next page, at the top of the next page.
Okay, it is. It went over. So that would stay exactly the same.
The 70 times 50 brings it to the 35.
Thank you. Anyone else?
I'm concerned, like Jeff, with higher density home ownership. How are you going to deal with the parking?
There won't be any higher density because on this particular lot size and what's allowable right now is a duplex. So basically this is just, in other words, a duplex that can be split down the middle. It's not increasing your density at all. Okay?
My understanding, excuse me.
Okay, I'm not following because it says here the amended code sections would read, the minimum lot depth shall be 75 feet. That's what it says here. All right, and the width 50 and 35, so nowhere does it say it's changing to 70 feet.
That's what I'm asking you to make a change.
Sorry, I wasn't clear enough. Thank you for clarifying that.
I'm sorry. So that is a change that we're requesting that you make, that the minimum lot depth be 70 feet, and then the lot size be a minimum of...
7,000.
Of 3,500.
Side 7,000 total.
Yes.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you. Last call.
Yeah, the parking thing is already described in our code. It's two spots, right? Garage, driveway, or whatever. Okay. Same thing as a duplex, you're saying. Thank you.
There won't be any changes in the density, and there won't be any changes in the parking. There'll just be a change in the fact that you can split it, and the people can own individual units and the land that it sits on.
That's perfectly clear. We see the packet we got still showed a $2,500 foot. So that's what we read and studied all week and thought about. Now we're beyond that.
That makes sense.
Okay, thank you. Any others in favor of the proposal that would like to speak? Sir? Thank you, Ms. Hickey.
Perhaps I'll stand up here too, so we...
Okay.
Absence of a microphone. Good evening, Chair and Commissioners. My name's Rick Satry. I'm with the Satry Group. Our address is 375 West 4th Avenue in Eugene. I'm speaking tonight as an independent land use consultant and landscape architect. I'm not affiliated with the Rolling Meadows PUD or with the applicant or the applicant's representative, but as a professional land use planner who has assisted property owners and businesses in Junction City in the past, hopes to again in the future, because a lot of our work is associated with housing, and housing is an issue in many communities throughout the state. I felt compelled to speak before you tonight in support of the application because it does address housing, and because it does make housing, home ownership, it increases opportunities for home ownership in the Junction City community. As stated in the staff report, and as Mr. Darnielle said so very well this evening, the applicable criteria includes the Junction City Comprehensive Plan, the Municipal Code, applicable statewide goals, and other ordinances. There's been some discussion so far this evening regarding two things in particular, and that's what I would like to focus on right now. The first is in regards to density. The second is in regards to lot dimensions, and I'll speak first with respect to density. As Mr. Darnielle pointed out, and it's a legitimate concern about higher density at 17.4 DU per acre or anything else, but as Mr. Darnielle correctly pointed out, is that in your codified land use regulations in Junction City, there is no maximum currently in the Junction City Comprehensive Plan. The word that's in the Comprehensive Plan is typical. So in the R2 zone, a density is typically 8 to 12. That doesn't imply a maximum, doesn't imply a minimum, it just says typical. So if something did occur at 17.4 or 14 or 15 or 18 or 20, it's not in direct violation of your comprehensive plan because there is no maximum. Interestingly, at 17.4 DU per acre, as has been mentioned in your existing code, townhomes are permitted in the R2 zone with a conditional use permit. Those townhomes are permitted in your current code to be on individual lots of 2,500 square feet with a lot width of 25 feet. So it's already in your code today that someone could build an attached single-family residence, but in this case a minimum of three. In essence, the application before you was asking for a minimum of two, so it's a very minor change in that regard. But today, the important point is that today you can build a row of three attached single-family dwellings on 2,500 square foot lots a width of 25 feet. That's already in your code, and that equates to a density of 17.4. Now, let me clarify 17.4. A density of 17.4 would only apply, would only occur if there were no corner lots that have a wider setback on the street side yards, if there was no land dedicated for open space or stormwater management or for right-of-way and streets. So it's really a theoretical number. It's only if an entire application, entire development site was cheek by jowl, border to border, 2,500 square feet. If you allow, if you assume that there's going to be other uses in a development site, such as streets or stormwater or open space or corner lots that have a wider side yard setback, you'll never reach the 17.4 anyway. So, I'm here tonight, again, independent, as a professional land use planner, self-employed for a little over 40 years now. So the only thing I've done in my entire adult life is land use planning, all right here in central Lane County. I'm here advocating that you not worry about the 17.4 as a number, because it's not in conflict with your comprehensive plan. And 17.4 dwelling unit per acre density is already allowed in R2, again, with a conditional use permit. And again, a conditional use permit is discretionary, and if it doesn't meet standards, then it wouldn't be approved. Related to that, and I started to talk a little bit about lot dimensions, but I want to talk a little bit more about that, is that I would like to make a friendly amendment to the application before you tonight. I am advocating that you consider a 2,500 square foot lot, because again, because it's already permitted with townhomes in the R2 zone, it's already permitted as a conditional use. I'm advocating that you consider it, and I'm advocating that the amendment would be that you not worry about lot width and lot depth. We have modeled many narrow home floor plans and neighborhood designs with lots as narrow, with homes as narrow as 20 feet, with lots as narrow as 25 to 30 feet. We've modeled many of those in communities and with a quality design, and again, meeting standards in the land use code, the building code, the plumbing code, the fire code, you've got to meet all of those requirements anyway. I'm advocating that you not worry about that, that a friendly amendment would be specifically that in 17.15.030 in the R2 zone, you could make a, and I provided that in writing to Terry and to Gary. I apologize for not having extra copies for each of you this evening, but a simple amendment could read, for single family detached dwellings, for two family dwellings, i.e. duplexes, and for multiple family dwellings, that the lot width continue to be 50 feet as it is today. The new amendment to the code would be that for single family attached dwellings, that's the dwelling type in the staff report before you tonight, that the minimum lot depth be 25 feet. That's my friendly amendment to allow, to make the, for single family attached dwellings, to allow a lot to be as narrow as 25 feet. And again, 25 may sound narrow, but it's already permitted in your code via the duplex, the triplex. And if you look at it globally, the triplex, three units, this really is only asking for a two unit, in essence, a two-unit townhome be permitted, where today you have three or more is already permitted. In closing, I'd like to advocate some words that staff put into the staff report very well, and that is in regard to home ownership and affordability. Fitting in finding number two in your staff report, staff states that the proposed changes would allow an additional type of single-family dwelling in Junction City, and it expands the opportunity for home ownership. So we not don't want to forget that really what we're wanting to do tonight is really think about the marketplace and think about the demand for home ownership and to think about alternative opportunities for you in Junction City to create opportunities for individuals to own their own home. Finding 3 in the staff report points out that this makes it creates opportunities for less expensive home ownership by reducing the lot size, reducing the footprint size. And it helps, again, in finding 4, it, staff points out that it lessens the impact of rising housing costs by more efficiently utilizing your land. One thing that's not in my talking points here tonight that I've heard you talk about is parking. I want to point out that in the staff report, I think it's on page 14, if we're looking at the large blue page numbers. Page 15, if I'm looking at it correctly. The proposed code language recommended before you tonight, item number, it's in 1705020, item 5. It says, the dwelling shall provide on-site covered parking consistent with the predominant construction patterns, etc. So you've asked quite legitimately about parking. It's in your recommended code language that parking requirements are going to be met. Anyway. So in closing, thank you very much for the opportunity to be here and to share some opinions. As a fellow that's been doing nothing but land use planning his entire adult life, I really appreciate it's always enjoyed working with Terry and Gary in the past on applications, particularly in Junction City. We hope to do more, and I'm available for any questions that you may have.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Darnell.
Permission to grill Mr. Satterick?
Please do.
You've done that before.
I have. Putting on my attorney hat, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Do you believe this is a legislative or quasi-judicial process?
Oh, that exceeds my pay grade. I am
not mine sure. Too. It's a gray area. If it's a legislative action, then the Planning Commission can accept friendly amendments.
Well, that must be what it is.
And if it's quasi-judicial, I don't think you have the ability to change the application. And I frankly can't give you an interpretation of that. I'm not your city attorney. But I would request that question be forwarded to your city attorney to answer for you. This process has characteristics of both. Mm-hmm. There's a single applicant, certain property is being involved, but all R2 is being affected, and there are criteria, approval criteria. And that's 2 of the 3 traditional characteristics the Supreme Court looks at in terms of determining whether a land use application is legislative or quasi-judicial. Who knows? And you might not even know unless it went to court and UBA looked at it.
But we don't want to do that.
No, we don't. But I would suggest that a legal opinion.
I'm Rebecca Dorman. I'm the city attorney in this hearing, I believe. And I'm joining remotely because I have a cold. I didn't want to bring the whole group. But yeah, it is a really great question, whether it's quasi-judicial or legislative. And the way that I looked at it was, since this was a property owner or community member initiated code amendment, that we needed to provide the procedural protections for the application and for that applicant, but that the action per the city's code is type 4 legislative. Since we're providing protections to the applicant by using the quasi-judicial script that the chair went through, I think that friendly amendments may need to be sifted through for an opinion from the applicant. That's what I would recommend.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any others in favor of the proposal that would like to speak?
Mine's quick. quick. I don't have an eloquent pitch for you. My name's Candace McLean. I live at 26398 Richardson Lane in Junction City, and I make a motion to recommend the amendment to allow single-family attached in the R2 zoning. I'm also a local realtor, and I really do see it as an opportunity to get more people into home ownership by giving them a product that they don't currently have that could potentially have more attractive price points to get people at every income level into home ownership.
Okay, thank you.
Questions?
Any others in favor of the proposal? Seeing none. Any neutral testimony about this proposal? Seeing none. Here we go. Anyone opposed to this proposal? Would you like to speak? No one? I guess there's not much to rebut. Are there any further questions from the Planning Commission? Mr. Sumner.
Yes. In your proposal where you go to 25 feet versus 70 feet, did they change from 75? That's 1,250. In other words, we go from 3,500 to 1,250 for the size lot. I don't figure you can build too much on that lot. Did I understand you correctly to go to 25 feet? Yes, sir.
Thank you. I wasn't advocating a change in the lot depth. And I was advocating a change in the lot width, which is already permitted in the townhome ordinance in the municipal code, with three attached units on a 7,500 square foot total. But three townhomes could be three homes on three individual lots. So if it's 7,500 square feet, that means, and you divide it by three, that could be 2,500 square foot per lot. So I was advocating that you allow a minimum of 25 feet for width. That doesn't mean they're always going to be only 25 foot width lots. Someone can always have a lot wider lot, and I was advocating that it could be a minimum of 25. I wasn't suggesting a change in the current depth of 75.
I misunderstood.
And again, the 75 is a minimum. Someone could always do more. We've modeled some similar applications where we have lots between 25 and 30 feet in width and between, but when we've done 25 to 30 feet in width, we actually go deeper in order to meet front yard setbacks, backyard setbacks, and our average lot depth in that case is 80 to 90 feet. But anyway, I wasn't advocating a change in the depth.
Okay, thank you.
The way I understood it, Jack, was that if you allowed 25 feet for the width, that then you had to be 100 feet deep. And
yeah, keep it at the same size.
Yeah, keep it the same size, but
us old folks have to take time to devour it.
Okay, I don't know if this applies. Number eight, does the applicant wish to waive or limit the time in which to submit final written argument? That was for you, I think. Okay. Does the applicant wish to waive or limit the time in which to submit final written argument? It's per ORS 197.797 subsection 6E, and I'm not sure I've seen that before on my page.
Chair, if I may.
Sir, certainly.
Could you turn her up just a minute?
I was just going to make sure that we asked if the applicant had any final words for the Planning Commission to consider after the, especially after the friendly amendment discussion.
There's a lot to say. It came to me, but now it just went away, what I was going to say. I appreciate the friendly amendment, and moving forward, you know, I can't speak for the applicant. I'm the applicant's representative, and As long as it doesn't jeopardize, I don't know how to say this, as long as it doesn't jeopardize our application and the potential of the approval of our application, we're happy to, I guess, entertain that friendly amendment.
All right, thank you.
But we do still, just for clarification purposes, whichever way you go, the lot size would need to be reduced to a minimum. If it was the 3,500 square feet, it would have to be reduced to the minimum of the 70 to meet the criteria. So you can discuss amongst yourself and then decide.
Did you have a question?
Well, if I understood, this is not directed at you, but if I understood the city attorney, that had to be a separate discussion.
Well,
that we needed clarification on that, and that we could move forward with their question and the proposal on the table and deal with that at a separate time.
And we can, and that's, she said this was a type 4 legislative action, so we can, but I'm not sure what that would do to the applicant. So we need to talk about that after the hearing closes.
It currently wouldn't do anything to the applicant because we are not.
That's right.
If we accept what they've given us here.
That's right.
When we go with what's here, we if we decide we like it, we say fine, go ahead with it, and they're happy and everybody's going forward.
Right.
And then if we take the friendly amendment as a second item going down the road and decide whether or not we want to accept that, at that point, then it would affect them in a positive manner because it would change what they're doing. But we're not, you know, we're not doing that right now till we have more information on how we can address that, if I understood the city.
That's correct. Okay. Right. We have a little bit of leeway there, but right. We need to talk about that after we close the hearing.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I'm a confused, but you'll have to talk.
Mr. Darnell?
I guess I just want to point out, too, if the Planning Commission is leaning towards changing either the lot width or depth standards for single attached dwellings, they might also consider doing the same for the duplex. It just seems reasonable and consistent.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, are there any requests to hold the record open?
Are we allowed to make comments?
Yes, sir.
This is just something I'm running through my head. I've been around a lot of cities and other places, and I've watched them cram a lot of houses into small areas, and it doesn't seem to work out well in the end. 10, 15 years down the road, you have problems that you never anticipated. I moved to Junction City 28 years ago because I liked the small, close-knit community where you still had open spaces and you still had, everybody had a yard, so the kids could go out and play ball in it or whatever. And I hate to see Junction City lose its what makes people move here by cramming tons and tons of houses. I like the 3,500 square foot part, but going down to a 25 foot wide.
Let's close the public hearing and then we'll discuss
okay,
it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Further. If there's no request to keep the record open, we will close the public hearing at 7:28 p.m. Thank you, everybody, for your input. Okay, now let's talk about that. I kind of agree with that. And in my notes, before I realized they had changed the numbers, that was the stumbling block I had, because you see, sometimes they stick too many things in a neighborhood and all of a sudden it gets too full. And, you know, some of our nicer neighborhoods in town have the larger lots and they're the ones likely to suffer if these things are split up and stuck in different places. And I'm concerned about the people that already live here as well as I am someone who might want to live here in the future. I don't think that's right to come in and have somebody who's perfectly happy in there. And every time there's a decision to be made in town, everyone comes in with their pitchforks, mm-hmm. and it doesn't always go their way, even if we somehow try everything we can try. Mm-hmm. They come up with some ORS number that haunts
us. I'm all for everybody to have an opportunity to own a home. I mean, I look at sometimes nowadays and I say, how is somebody fresh out of young and just getting married going to be able to afford a home? How's that going to happen? Because homes have gotten so far. So I'm not against that. I understand that there needs to be opportunity for that. But at the same time, I don't want to have Junction City lose its attractiveness. The way, I mean, that's why I moved here. I mean, you got Eugene and Springfield right to your our neighbors here, and I would never want to live in either one of those cities.
I think we have a lot more there to discuss, and if we have a consensus, I would prefer to look at the application as proposed and discuss other lot size changes at a different time. There's too many things tied to it that, you know, not enough people were noticed for that, and I just don't think, you know, I'm tired of people throwing beer bottles at me when I drive by. You know, it's
well, one of the things I don't want to, I'd like to have a clean copy of what's being talked about. We could sit here and listen to these people add their amendments or whatever, and supposedly there's been amendment to what we have in front of us, and twice now I've misread or misheard. I want a clean copy before I talk to about it. Can we get that?
I agree with you.
Well, I think we should look at what's in front of us and consider our friendly amendment another time, you know, and see how it applies to everything else around town. I do have one question. This goes to all of the R2 properties. So would people with a duplex that fit the lot and the standard, would they be able to convert theirs to townhomes?
Single family.
Well, single family attached dwellings, pardon me.
So if it's an existing duplex and it's in an R2 zone and this change were made, then they could make application to partition the property.
Okay.
And divide those. I think they would probably also need to consult with the building official to make sure that that existing structure is going to meet any standards, as I'm not a building official, so I couldn't tell you. But that would be someone we'd want to bring into that discussion.
Certainly. But if they were to bring it up to code with a firewall and and go to the legal thing to have it drawn up into two lots, it would seem fair and reasonable that they had the same opportunity as somebody building something new.
Right.
Was my consideration there. Yeah,
they would go through a partition process rather than...
Okay, but it could be done. There would be a way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. What does everybody think about the proposal in front of us?
Do you need a motion?
Not yet. Let's talk about it a little bit.
I think the way this thing's written right now, I wouldn't have a part of it.
You wouldn't have a part of it?
No. Because there's too many things that say, it says you got to have 7,500 square feet for the lot they're proposing in writing, but we don't have a copy of it.
No.
To 70, right? So
right.
We're if you say go with what we got now, I'm not for
it. Well,
I need to have to change some things.
Do we have?
We
have it. It's just not. It's just not written. We've dropped the 2,500 square foot minimum, and made it a 3,500 square foot minimum, and the lot change would be from 75 to 70 feet.
Right.
That was the difference, and that change was made after the packet was printed, and I understand that that's a point of contention. But I hate for it to go, I mean, people are ready to go and build and turn dirt, and I hate to...
I understand. I don't want to keep anybody from working
right.
And building homes. We need them all the time.
But
what we have, we need to sit down and go point by point, make the change in here, amend the record, because it's still open as far as deliberation. If we make the change to 70 versus... what is written, 75, can we go from 25 to 35? It's getting better.
And that would be in our amended motion.
Okay.
So we need help from our friendly staff to amend a motion, is what we're looking for, I think.
That sounds smart.
Do we have a consensus here, or do
I'm very comfortable with what's presented here, and I'm in favor of doing it.
Okay.
I understand it, I know what you're trying to do, and I think it makes perfect sense. I like the idea that it develops affordable housing.
I do too, it makes...
It opens up, I mean, it's the same thing, we got the same number of dwellings.
Certainly.
Everything is the same, except now we have opportunity for more people to own houses, and that's a very important thing nowadays.
I think so, and I, and I'm more than happy to look at the 2,500 or different sizes, our code amendments at a different time.
Different time.
But I'm afraid if we slam that on here,
I don't want to tie this up, I want them to be able to proceed.
I do too.
Let's look at that as a second application, or a second process we can discuss, and if it works out and it ends up that way, then they, by changes in the code, would benefit down the road.
I agree.
I'm comfortable with this the way there is, and just so you guys know, I have no qualms at all about attached or duplexes. That doesn't matter to me, it's the same amount of people living in the same spot. I think you said in your presentation, it's the same density. So that's not where I had a qualm, but my feathers did rile up about a 25-foot wide lot. That's something that, but that's another time. So as this is done, I'm comfortable with this.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I would entertain a motion, could you help us with that a little bit, Mr. Darnell, possibly?
I will do my best. I would change and make a motion to recommend a modification to the city council with a proposed amendment to allow as an outright permitted use two-unit attached single-family homes in the R2 duplex residential zones, file AMD 2237, based on findings as stated in the staff report. The modifications are, one, change in section 17.15.030 sub D, the minimum area for single-family attached dwelling shall be 3,500 square feet. The second modification is...
That's under, per unit.
Excuse me?
Per unit.
Per unit, yes. The second change is also in the same section, 17.15.030 sub E, and it should read, the minimum lot depth shall be 70 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And those two changes bring your code, the minimum depth and width and square footage into consistency.
Okay.
Who's
going to try it?
So we have to, one of us has to state it, or...
One of you has to make a motion, and we'll need a second.
I'll make a motion as read by the lawyer.
Oh, there's a good idea.
Is that acceptable?
Are we allowed to do that, Terry?
Second that motion. Is that acceptable, or does one of us have to reread it?
He didn't write it down.
I can reread it if you want to. Well, I can.
The intent is to accept all of the changes proposed, except for the two modifications. So it would be, I make a motion to recommend modification.
Excuse, before we start, can he make a motion?
No.
No, one of us has to do it.
All right, well...
He's just going to clean it up.
I think I have it.
You got it?
I think I have it, okay, so I'll...
Give it a shot.
Suggested motion here, and we'll go with that. So I make a motion to recommend approval with modifications to the city council for the proposed amendment to allow as an outright permit use two-unit attached single-family homes, parentheses row houses, in R2. Duplex residential zones, file AMD 22-37, based on the findings as stated in the staff report as modified.
Perfect.
And as modified shall be section 17.15.030 of the Junction City Municipal Code, subsection line B, the minimum area for single family attached dwelling shall be 3,500 square feet per unit. As modified in the same section, subletter E, the minimum lot depth shall be 70 feet.
Second.
Thank you. You did well.
Good job, man.
Okay.
That motion wasn't good.
It was good. We understood you. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All in favor? None opposed? Okay. Thank you very much, everybody. All right.
We're not for it, so we couldn't answer.
Yeah, well, we'll get to it. We'll make that happen. Okay, we have a request to modify our standing meeting date. Yes, sir. We have a request for a 3-second break. Okay, you can have 2 minutes.
No, we're coming. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gary, good to see you.
That's why the San Francisco fire at the turn of the century went through, wiped out so many.
Yeah, but they came back and built them the same.
I know, but they actually put a little brick in between them now instead of just wood.
And they came out with this, of course, it's.
Right, we get it. Let's stay in touch.
Okay.
Thank you, Gary.
All right, thank you. Thank you, it's nice meeting you.
Black roof line.
Yes.
Ugly pyramid walls, yeah. And the thing was, they built these city blocks and only the corner lot people could get in their backyard and set through their garage. Everybody had a front yard and a backyard, but they had no side, they had no, for a whole block. And that's the first time.
I'm out of here.
I mean, I don't want to switch on to city.
I think they're just gonna head back over to town.
No, I don't either.
In the '60s, my dad was building houses, we put them on.
Keep them updated.
Yes. So we can do $3,500. We'll.
You bet, sir.
John Anderson, look at screwing tomorrow or the next day.
Nice to meet you, Jeff.
Yeah, you see how many.
Jim Creek.
Bye, Lanny.
Bye.
Drive safe.
I will.
Bright lights.
Bright lights on whoever.
We'll figure it out.
What he would do.
Have a good evening, thank you.
See you, Terry. Bye.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Bye, Jim.
Carpenter and stuff like that, and they built ranch homes.
Terry.
Single level, 3 and 4 bedroom.
I tried.
100 by 200.
No, you're not done.
You had a big backyard.
He's gonna come back for discussion, it wasn't.
Everything. And your neighbor, if he wanted to talk to you, he had to get out of his house and come over and talk.
Actually, as you said, it's already there.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's already in the.
I don't want Joseph saying to lose his attractiveness. I mean, it's.
But my lawn that I got right now, I can sit and build with that one.
Everybody left.
Because we know what they were listening to.
Casual conversation and work session.
So much driving and coffee.
Okay, thank you.
Was that beer?
Yeah, always. Yeah, it's a short commute back home, so.
Right.
Just right.
And.
It doesn't work.
We love Junction City.
Yeah, I got plenty of.
Succeeded with a couple of projects. We've got more in the wings at 25 rents per feet.
Come see us. We're here every, once a month on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Well, to be determined.
To be determined.
TBD, yeah. So honestly, I'm available, and if you wanted to put together a work session and have a casual conversation anytime, let me know.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay.
You get paid for his meeting.
We could just bill him direct. All right, we have a request to change or modify our standing meeting date. And I heard a little about this, but I wasn't here, so. Hit me up, somebody. What are we gonna?
So Jack that wants to make a change.
I have other things that I wanna do on Wednesday nights.
You're saying we're not.
Yes.
No.
We're not very important to you then.
That's not the idea.
Every Wednesday, wait a minute, yeah.
Used to come to these meetings when they were on Thursday nights, right? And then we had, what's his name, Jason Thiesfeld said, I'm on the county planning commission.
Right, I remember that.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And we all agreed to help him out.
Okay.
And then he quit, but we didn't change.
Well, he moved.
Huh?
He moved.
He moved.
I also.
He moved outside the city.
I also have. I'm part of another thing that happens on Wednesday evenings also. And I have to, and so far I've been able to juggle it to where I've always been to these.
Okay.
So I do miss some of those. This is very important to me, but if it was on a different night, it would be good for me also. But if it doesn't change, I really care a lot about Junction City, and I don't want to. I'll be here no matter what night.
I have no preference.
Okay, question, just a minute. Every Wednesday you got a problem, or just one Wednesday a month? Every Wednesday, every week you got a problem?
Three Wednesdays a month, but it is only one affected by this one.
No, the question is, Are all the Wednesday nights a problem for you?
Yes.
Okay. And how about you?
One Wednesday a month for me.
All Wednesday nights are a problem?
Okay, Jim, I'm sorry.
Oh.
If it was the first, third, or fourth, I wouldn't have a problem.
Okay, that's what I'm asking. How about you?
No, it's a, we have men's club out there, and I'm on the board, I'm the secretary, and I have to do all that stuff out there, and I get it handled, but it would be a lot easier for me if I...
Every Wednesday?
Every Wednesday, yeah. Mostly, it's mostly prevalent from March to November, because the winter months were pretty much off.
Yeah, like tonight, we have the fire district. Got emotionally involved in this because it saved my wife's life twice.
But they're nice people that way.
Damn right.
Yeah, they are.
They get there real quick.
They'll even save you if they don't like you.
Well, that's
keep that in mind.
Probably the reason I stayed out of the room.
They will. I've seen it.
But footnote, Jim, I would make it to these meetings. I've been able to do it so far since I've been on the commission, and I would continue to do so. But if it was changed, I'd kind of grin inside.
Well, there's only so many days available on the calendar, so
I was looking at the third Tuesday of the months. The conflict would be with not really a conflict at all, except for in May. No, May it would be clear.
November's or the third one, okay.
Yeah, the third Tuesday.
How
would that impact you?
Schedule better than all of us.
Thank you. So the Planning Commission was on Tuesday evenings for years,
mm-hmm.
and I think that part of the reason they did that was, and it was the third Tuesday, and part of that was that noticing that planning is required to do for things like the public hearing you had this evening, there has to be a minimum of 20 days the notice has to go out a minimum of 20 days before a public hearing. So if there isn't 20 days between the Planning Commission and the City Council, then that application gets pushed out another month. Moving it to the third Tuesday would ensure that there's always a minimum of 20 days, which currently we don't always have. So that would be a bonus.
That would be a benefit.
From planning perspective, that would be okay. A bonus.
Okay with everybody?
Third Tuesday a month, I'd be very happy with.
What do you think? Are you busy Tuesdays?
Tuesdays would work.
I don't have a preference. My schedule always, no matter what day it is, takes a right before I leave to come here. Tonight the fences were down and the animals were out, so I'm here like I are. But, you know, it doesn't matter to me at all what day it is.
So what is... The 23rd of May, what's that Tuesday? What is, well, that's not the
3rd. That's the 4th.
I'm sorry, I'm my mistake. I'm good.
The 16th.
It would be, yeah, May 16th would be the 3rd. So we would, let me double check.
We have to make a motion and get it approved by God or somebody.
So that would put, the February meeting would be February 21st.
Would we be able to plan that now, or do we have to get City Council approval for this?
No, it is your decision.
It's up to us. Okay.
You are amending your bylaws.
All right.
I'm not doing anything about it. And what your bylaws require is that the bylaws, it says on page 51, it's Article 10, amendments to the bylaws. These bylaws may be amended by an affirmative vote of a majority of members present at any regular meeting, providing notice of such amendment is given at a preceding regular meeting. This agenda item appeared on last month's agenda and this month, so I think that you have met that requirement. So you could make a motion this evening, if you so chose, to change the standing meeting date to the third Tuesday. This room is available on that evening.
I think if everyone's comfortable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Do you need a motion?
Yep, we have to.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would make a motion that the Planning Commission meeting be moved to the third Tuesday of the month.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I don't know, but they're not here.
Okay.
I was also going to make the same comment. I'm not going to be here next month. I'm gonna be in Arizona, so.
I'm going with you.
Yeah.
Pick me up.
Okay.
The weather's better.
Hey, go down there and help the border patrol.
Yeah.
Okay, so one missing doesn't still be something.
You see it.
Oh, yeah.
We still have enough, we have a quorum.
So I will be gone both of those.
Okay, I will note that. Yeah, we do have, thank you for bringing that up. We do have vacancies for both of the alternate positions, so if you know of anybody.
The guy that just introduced himself to everybody.
Yeah, you didn't get him.
I don't know, what was I thinking?
I don't know.
Now, who remembers his name?
It just has to be in Lane County.
I don't remember his name.
Or the 97448 zip code.
Alternates can be in the 97448 zip code. Okay. Anywhere in the 97448 zip code. The regular commission members, two members can be in the 97448 zip code, two in the urban growth boundary, and the remainder need to be within city limits. So,
I think I'm one of those that's in the, oh no, I guess I'm in the urban growth boundary.
You're in the urban growth.
Barely. Right, so barely.
I'm in the boony part.
Yeah, so yeah. So yes, we could have people that are outside the urban, we could have one other additional member outside the urban growth boundary.
Right.
That would.
Maybe that guy will come back to the next meeting.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't get his name in the record?
We all said hello. He introduced himself to all of us, and I'm so poor with names.
He's a veteran, so that helps.
I will never forget his face, but
yeah, I'd remember him if he walked in, but I apologize. I'm so poor with
that. That 25 foot wide, I know it's already there, but that feather. Well,
this room's about 25 foot wide.
Yeah, I mean, that's
12, 16, 24. This is a 25-foot lot.
You know, well, we're going to have something before one of these days about these mini houses. That's going
to
happen.
Well, it's going to have to be the parking.
Tiny. It'd be like a double wide that just has an entrance and an exit at the end, so
right,
instead of through the sides.
Yeah. But, skinny mini.
Yeah.
Okay.
The 25-foot wide right now in the R2 is a conditional use, so it would have to come before the planning commission in order to approve that. So there is a little bit more review with that.
But it wouldn't be something like what happened over here by Bimart across the street where we'd have our hands tied? Mm-hmm. That was kind of my thing. Mm-hmm.
It would.
I have a word for that, but Terry doesn't like me to speak like that, especially when the recording's on.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's about this high.
My swear jar is full. I have two and they're full. Okay, Planning Commission agenda for Castor.
Right.
Oh, almost. We'll get you out of here quick.
Oh, I'm not in a hurry. I just zipped up.
On page 58, if you wanted to follow along, the two pending items are over here at the community center, getting everything situated so all the buildings are on their own lots. That initially came to you as a request for a property line adjustment. Because of the changes that need to be made, it would actually become a replat because some of the tax lots would be removed and consolidated.
Okay.
So that's a change there, but that it's going to take a little bit longer to get it to you. But
right, but that's still publicly owned property, yes, and it really doesn't affect anyone else. It's just a cleanup.
Right.
Are they going to have to change the lot where the new city hall is going?
I think they will, yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that we have consistency.
They got a skirt on it.
Yeah. It's starting to look good.
No lipstick yet, though?
Huh?
A lipstick yet?
I don't know. You have to talk to the builders about that.
And the other item, there is a preliminary subdivision application that will be coming to you in February on the 21st. And that's for the remainder of the reserve. It's phases 3 through 6.
Actually coming, huh?
Yeah. Yep. Huh? It's the first step in that.
Spring's only a few months away. Maybe they're getting.
No, we've only been working on this for the last 15 years. Yeah.
So the meeting is not February 23rd, it's February 21st.
21st, yes. Thank you. Yes, I will send out an
Don't
email
be late.
Reminder tomorrow to let everyone know, and then I will bring back the revised bylaws next month so you can all see them. I had one other thing I wanted to share with you in that my duties as of July 1st will be changing, and so I will be stepping away from planning.
Get out! No, no, no.
Really? After only After all this time? I almost said years. After all this time? Sorry about that.
My coworker, Don Northy, will be taking over the administrative planning technician duties. So she, you'll start seeing her face here. I think she'll be here either next month or the following, just to kind of shadow and see what happens. And then gradually she'll be doing more and more. I'll still be here. I will be her, a resource for her as well as the planning commission. But my duties are going to change.
So. Who allowed you to make that change?
Thank you.
Well, I'm just glad I didn't hear retired. Because those two are...
Thank you for your hard work.
Tolerable. Yeah. And we appreciate you, having
you're very, very yeah. good at what you do.
I'll be here for a few more months. But
you we'll have to get us reasonably uncouth.
Thank you very much for the updates on the Borden House place. It's going to be a triplex, I understand.
Yes.
The weather is not cooperating.
No, it's looking better over there, though. So.
I said, put a tarp up. He says, hey, all right. The wind blows it away.
Any further commissioner comments? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Airborne.
All in favor.
Well, I sure like this beer container.
Yeah. Brings a growler to the meeting. Yeah. You should have brought six. That's not very neighborly. One for Terry. Seven. Yeah. I'm not kombucha.